continuing on, he said, you have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth that John got, that the Father had told him how he would be able to recognize the Messiah when he came. And he said, when you baptize, his spirit would descend on him in the form of a dove. And he did. And then he spoke from heaven to validate this. But the testimony which I receive is not from man. But I say these things so that you may be saved. He's simply saying, I really did not need John's testimony. I did not depend on that. I depended on the Father's testimony. Now, the Father can deal with John and man as prophets as he wants. But my main testimony came from the Father, you know, and I understand that, okay? He, or John the Baptist, was a light that was burning and was shining, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in that light, okay? But the testimony which I have is greater than the testimony of John. For the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do, testify about me that the Father has sent me. Again, he's going to finish. Not only was he going to do signs and wonders, again, he did things that other prophets did. But they did not fulfill prophecies as he did, and they did not offer themselves up as the sin offering and the Lamb of God, the life-giving Spirit. So these are the works that he's come to finish that no one else could do. He was going to complete the covenant and the Word of God, and all the Father's plans were going to be summed up in what he did. Again, for this, when he prayed, remember, when he said, deliver me from this hour, he said, should I pray this? For this very reason was I sent into the world, to give up my life. So John's testimony was true from the beginning. Behold the Lamb of God, implying what? That he must die. And isn't that, how you like that as an introduction? Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. That was before he said Messiah, Son of God, anything else. He was letting him know that this is the work that I must finish. And everything I do is for this, pointing to this reason. And this is why even on the cross, when he give up his spirit, he could say, it is finished. He finished completely the will of God. Psalm says, it is written of me to fulfill or do your will, O God. And he did it perfectly, always did it, and he completed everything that the Father had sent him into the world to do. And the Father who sent me, he has testified of me. You have neither, speaking to the Jews, you have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. He's speaking again to the Jews who are persecuting him. John heard the voice of God, and he may have seen his form, because prophets did at times see the vision in visions and dreams. They were showed things. But he's addressing them now that you have had no clear revelation from God. Actually, in later chapters, he's going to tell them, because your father's the devil. And because you're rejecting me, obviously you haven't heard from God. And you don't know about God. And see, God and Christ even said to the woman at the well, and he said, you worship what you don't know. You know, your worship is really not true worship. You know, you're ignorant. And you don't understand. You Samaritans are all messed up. But I've come to offer you life. But he says, yeah, you worship, but you don't know what you worship. But then he tells the Jews, your father's the devil. That's who you serve. And you will do his works as I do the Father's work. You'll do the devil's work. And they did. You know, because they come under the power of his deceptions and lies. Had they known he was the Lord of glory, they would not have crucified him. But their wicked hearts were blinded, and they did. You know? And so he says this. You have not, again... notice what he says here is very interesting. You do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him whom he hath sent. This is a powerful statement here. This is how so many people get into false Christianity and false religion, and they live hypocrites' lives, lukewarm and carnal, and think they're serving God, because His Word does not abide in them. They assume things about God and His Word out of context that is not true. They misinterpret God's Word. They misinterpret God, as the Jews did, thinking they represented God and trying to kill the Son of Glory. They were deceived. It hasn't changed. So people who do not have the Spirit's Word abiding in them are going to be deceived. And they're going to believe false shepherds and false teachers. It's going to be the blind leading the blind. And they're going to be religious people. And they're going to be churchgoers, multitudes of them, that are going to say, Lord, Lord, believing He's the Son of God as they go into hell. The devils believe that. They haven't changed. But He's not their Lord, because they do not do His Word, and they do not submit to His Word. That's what it means to have His Word abiding. See, it did not mean to have it as a mental assent in your mind. See, many people think that's what religion is. No. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is to be committed to follow and obey Him. That's the belief that John is talking about in the Scripture. It's not talking about a mental assent that even demons have. See, they have that kind of faith or acknowledgement when nobody else does, but it doesn't save them. They know He's the Son of God. They know He's Jehovah the Lord. They know He's going to cast them in hell one day and judge them. They're terrorized of it, but they're not saved, and they don't follow Him. They don't submit to His Word willingly, but they will bow and submit to His power and His Word at the day of judgment, and they will know that His judgment is true. They will accept it at this time, as all the wicked will. Okay, he says what? You do not have His Word abiding in you. Wasn't this the condition to remain in Christ Jesus? Jesus said, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you will ask what you will. You will have communion and relationship with the Father. And He said, and if you don't, the Father will cut you off. As a withered branch, He'll throw you aside. If you do not abide in Me. To abide in Christ is to abide in Lordship. And many people are saying, Lord, Lord, and they're not following the Lord, nor His Word, and they go to church and they're going to hell. And most of the ministers in our pulpits are liars and messengers of the devil, sending them to hell. It's the blind leading the blind. They deserve what they get, and they get what they deserve. See, it works on itself. And Jesus said, leave them alone. There's a time you leave them alone, because they've revealed something. Jesus is going to show us again, same thing He sees in the Pharisees. He says, you search the Scriptures, saying that you do, and you've searched them, because you think that in them you have eternal life. What was their big deal? The law of Moses, ritual, regulations, they thought it was going to save them. And the law could save no one. See, Paul comes along later and says, all mouths will be stopped. By the law, you're simply told you're a sinner and you need a Savior. And they elevated portions of the law and didn't understand that the law was sending them to Jesus, saying, you need a Savior. That even I, the law, cannot save you. I will judge you. I will reveal what you are. But I cannot deliver you. Only the Savior, the Lamb, can deliver you from My judgment. And so they elevated this out of proportion. They twisted Scripture. They strained at gnats and swallowed camels. They added to God's Word. They took from it. What they liked, they kept. What they didn't like, they got rid of, and they claimed to represent God. It hasn't changed much, hasn't it? So many people today, you try to give them a message. I want a word from the Lord. I've heard people ask and tell me, yeah, you know, but I only want a positive word. I says, and you're on your way to hell. I can't help you. Because you have already revealed you want to hear what you want to hear. You don't want to hear the Word of God. Because the Word of God will reproof and warn and correct you if that's what you need. And if you're listening, that's what it'll do. And if you reject it, you'll get a lying spirit. And I see many people saying, Lord, Lord, who claim to be spirit-filled, who are on their way to hell because they're in false doctrine. And they'll run the meeting, looking for a special word when they're carnal and lukewarm and wicked. And if God had a word for them, it would be repent. And do your first works over. Get right with God. So when I see these people get these positive words, I say it's a lying spirit talking to them. It isn't the Holy Spirit. Because He convicts the sinner and the backslider. He will not bless them in their sins. It's contrary to His nature. Scripture says He will bless you and sending you Jesus, turning you from your sins. Were they true prophets, Isaiah, God said through Isaiah. He said they would turn My people from their evil doings. Then you'd know they were true. not promising them goodies when they were in sin. And that's what these false prophets do, these prosperity prophets. They're liars. They're no different than Ahab and Jezebel's prophets. Remember, all 400 of them told Ahab, go and prosper, because God's going to give you the victory. And they were liars, because God had determined to kill Ahab for his wickedness and for allowing his wife to kill the prophets of the Lord. And God says, I'll send a lion spirit. God sent him. That was his punishment. And many of the people that you know in these churches, God is sending them lion spirits because they've refused the truth. And he's letting them say, Lord, Lord, and believe they're going to heaven and prospering, and they're on their way to hell. Because they believe the lie. Because they've said, I want my way, and I'll believe about Scripture what I want to believe. And God says, you surely can do that. But on the day of judgment, my word will have the last word. The Son of God will judge perfectly, and your opinion won't count then. You can twist Scripture all you want here, but you don't get the last word. The word of truth always will get the last word. You do not have his truth abiding in you. This is what he's saying, to have his word. You do not have his light abiding in you. You do not have this, so therefore you cannot see. You cannot understand these spiritual things because of your sin. See, because the word would give you truth, and the word would enlighten you to what the truth is. So this is why he's telling the Jews how lost you are. You know, he's using strong terminology here. He says, you do search scriptures. See, Amos said this is going to happen. They'll run to and fro seeking the truth, but he said, but they will never understand. And I've seen many charismatics and Baptists and Pentecostals and all those who are supposed to be the better ones. They're just as deceived as the deceived Roman Catholics and liberal Protestants, because they've twisted the truth. They've made the elevated scriptures out of proportion that God did not intend. They've magnified self-glorification, claiming to be glorifying God. They're into materialism and covetousness and the self-life, and they're telling people that God wants to bless them and make them happy in this world, and the Scripture never taught this. That was a neutral thing that was irrelevant to God. Things that come and go didn't matter. God promised them spiritual life. These other things were really non-essentials to a great degree. God didn't care whether you had them or not, if they didn't rule you. But they rule these people because that's why they pursue it. They don't pursue the truth because the truth would tell them, go to the cross and stop being so self-seeking. Give up your life as God requires, because if you don't, you're going to go to hell. You're not going to serve God and find your life. And these lying ministers are saying you can do it, and that God wants you to do it, and he wants to bless you. It's the devil speaking through them. It's not the Holy Spirit. They come to testify of themselves. They're not testifying to the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of Jesus, which says what? Take up your cross daily. You must give up your life to find it eternally. They don't want to talk about that scripture. And see, unless you understand that one, all other scripture is false to you. You've been deceived. You're claiming promises that don't apply to you because you've not met the foundation properly. You've not laid it. So you're believing false things that are going to send you to hell. Claiming scriptures out of context when you've not made the conditions is lying and trying to deceive God, and it's not going to happen. You're going to be deceived and fall into hell. God's word ain't going to change. You can pervert God's word all you want, but it don't change God. The light, you're not going to put him out. He gets the last word. So he said, you search the scriptures because you think. Notice what he says. You think. Many people say, Lord, Lord, and they think they're born again and spirit-filled, and they're backslidden on their way to hell. Some of them never knew God. Some of them served the Lord for a while. They just have religion now, but they're not obeying God. They're disobedient. Paul called them children of disobedience. They ceased following the Lord. They took up the world again. Like James and John says, they love the world, and so they made God their enemy. And yet they go to church and say, Lord, Lord, and they tithe, and they do this, and they do that. And as far as God's concerned, it's an abomination. It's a stench to him. His attitude is get in or get out. He's not into this playing games with him. And they only deceive themselves. And the Pharisees were self-deceived. The devil had blinded them very well. And he says, you think you have eternal life? It is these that testify about me. What testified about him? The law and the prophets. If they had rightly divided them, if they had not taken them out of context, if they had not looked for the Messiah they wanted instead of the one that Isaiah and the Scripture said was going to come, they would have understood some things, and they would have saw that Jesus fulfilled the prophecies, and God would have opened their understanding. But God did not open their understanding because they rejected the light they were given, the lesser light, so he did not give them any greater light. That's the consequence. That's part of the kingdom. Even what they have will be taken from them. Go and blind them so they cannot see, Isaiah the prophet said. The Lord's speaking through him. He says, stop their ears so they can't hear. And Jesus quoted this referring to the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders, as that's what he was doing. And that was one of the reasons he was teaching parables to them. He'd been frank with them. This is some of the most upfront scripture he's given them. And they keep fighting and rejecting him. So then he teaches parables to blind them further. See, that's what God does. He says, you'll get the lion spirit then. That's why he said, who will go and cause Ahab to fall? He keeps believing lying prophets. He keeps does what he wants. When I've sent true prophets to warn him, and he hates them because they don't tell him what he wants to hear. They've all got a negative word for him because he's wicked. And he should have repented. And God says what? He said to the spirit, that the spirit came up and said, I'll do it. I'll do it, cause him to fall. He said, how will you do it? I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all the prophets. And Jehovah the Lord says, go, for you'll succeed. And God's still saying to the lying spirits, go, because you'll succeed. They've rejected my word and the Holy Spirit. I will send them a strong delusion. He's not changed. See, that's why you'll see that people you talk to, you know they're intelligent people. And yet they can't understand spiritual things because God will not let them. The veil is over them because they've rejected the truth that God gave them at some level, and they refused it, and they think they're going to go on and take what they like and pick and choose. It's not going to happen. They're going to find themselves in hell. That's the horror of what's going to happen to those who play with the Holy Spirit and play with the truth. And you are unwilling to come to me so that you might have life. Why are they unwilling? Because they do not have God's word in them. They cannot see the truth. Their sin and pride and self-seeking has kept God from opening their understanding. He cannot give them light. The spirit of truth cannot reveal to them anymore. So this is what he means. Jesus said, I give my spirit to my own. He said, I don't give it to the world. And only in conviction of sin does he enlighten the wicked. And if they don't respond to it, they don't give him nothing else. He has no new word for them. See, that's what the false prophets and the superstitious people think. You know, they can run here and God has a word that they don't like. So if I run somewhere else, maybe I'll get a good word. Fools. Balak tried that with Balaam when he had offered the sacrifice and God gave a blessing on Israel. He said, well, let's go over this hill. Perhaps he'll change his mind. See, that's the people, we laugh at that, and yet people are just as ignorant. They run from church to church because they didn't like what happened here, or they run to a meeting and someone reproved them and told them the truth and they didn't like that. Well, they gave me a negative word. I got to go somewhere where there's a positive word. No, they're going to hell. That's where they're going. And God's going to send them a lion spirit. Because if it's truly God, you're not going to run from his word. Wherever you go, that same word's going to haunt you until you deal with it. If it's God talking to you. Because you're not going to be reproved by God and told you're in sin. And all of a sudden God's changed his mind and he's forgot about it. And now he's just going to give you a good word. Do these people deceive themselves and they deserve hell. To think that God is like that. To think that God is ignorant. And that he just forgets what he told them. Forget. If it's truly the Spirit of God, you will not run if he's dealing with you until he's finished, or you will be hardened by him, and then he'll send you the lying teachers and let you believe what you want to believe. But again, we should say, not like Ahab. Even Jehoshaphat saw that. He says you shouldn't say this when he said, I hate him, for he never speaks no good. He shouldn't have said that. What he should have said was, you know, and Jehoshaphat knew it, you shouldn't be saying, I hate him. You should say, is the message true? Is what he told me the truth? And it was. You're wicked. You've allowed your wicked wife to kill my servants. I'm going to destroy you and your house if you don't repent. Ahab was warned by Elijah. He was warned by several prophets. And he hated the message they told him. And he who despises God's word, God said, I will despise him. How else did God despise him? He said, who will go and cause him to fall? God had made up his mind now. There's no hope for Ahab. Demon will save him then. And he was even told by the prophet what God said about him. And see, he could not really comprehend it. See, because God kept it from him. The Pharisees were told plain things by Jesus, and they still couldn't get it. No more than Ahab could, because their wicked heart couldn't get it. See, they were heard words that they really didn't get the understanding. Because God has to open the spiritual understanding. See? And sometimes he doesn't. He closes it for people. He puts the veil over them when they reject the spirit of truth, the light that he gives them. Okay, he goes on. Verse 41. I did not receive glory from man. See, they did. They honored one another. They were politicians. They were always flattering and bribing and paying each other. You know, this is what their religious system had come to. Verse 40. I thought I said that one. Are you unwilling to come to me so that you might have life? Did I miss that?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so when he talked about have eternal life, he says, they are the scriptures that testify about me, and you are unwilling to come to me so that you might have life. Again, they can only have eternal life by coming to him. They can only come to him if they understand the word. They can only understand the word if their heart is willing to receive the message of truth, whether they like it or not. So you see how it all works together. This is why he makes these statements to them. But I know you, that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. He knew them. Why did he know this? Your very works reveal you're not interested in God's glory. You've used religion to make money, to persecute, for power struggles. You're no different than the world. A lot of churches the same way today, aren't they? He says, you're no different. You act just like the world because you are the world, because your father is the devil. And therefore, there can be no love. If there was love in you, you would understand the truth and you would recognize who I am. You can't understand that Jehovah the Lord is talking to you. You don't get it. You're trying to crucify God and you don't get it because you have no truth in you. The Spirit will not enlighten you because of your sins. Okay, I have come in my Father's name. Well, let's back up. But I know, well, he says that you do not have the love of God in you. The other reason he knew they didn't have the love of God, we go back to the other scriptures, they were seeking the killing. When they said you can't do these things on the Sabbath, and you make yourself, he discerned the spirit of murder in them. Okay, hold your place. Chapter 8 of John. He's very specific with them. Look at 43 and 44. Why do you not understand that what I am saying? And then he answers it. It is because you cannot hear my word. See, you cannot because you, what, have perverted the law. You've perverted Moses and the scriptures. So now that I come, giving you further revelation, you didn't get the simplest one, so you can't believe who I am. Wasn't that what the guy was told in hell? When he said, well, go and someone from the dead and they'll believe. And he says, no. Abraham said they have Moses and the law. If they believe the prophets and Moses, they'll believe. And if not, they won't believe even though one is raised from the dead. So Jesus said, you didn't believe the scripture properly, so you can't believe who I am. Because they're the ones who tell you who I am. So how can you believe what I'm telling you? That's why I meant you cannot believe it. And notice what he says. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father, and he reveals what that is. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whatever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is the liar and the father of lies. He was a murderer from the beginning is basically implied probably when he's talking of Cain killing Abel, how he began with humanity enticing man from the beginning to be evil. And he's saying, you have that same spirit of murder in you. That's why you've rejected me. And that's why you can't hear God. And that's why the love of God is not in you. It cannot be. You know, even John said, a person who hates his brother and claims to be a Christian, he said he's a liar. And he said, truth's not in him. He said, for you know no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. He made it very plain. So he's telling these Jews, you don't have the love of God in you. You don't have his word in you. You have the devil in you. He basically told them the truth. And they were the religious, excuse me, And they were the religious leaders. Okay. I have come in my Father's name, Jehovah the Lord, and you did not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. Again, they had already received 40 or 50 messiahs. And later on, they'll receive some more false ones. See, anybody who came and said, let's throw the Romans off and God wants to give us a king. See, they wanted to believe that when God's message was, you're a wicked nation. I'm going to destroy you because you killed the Lord of glory. I'm going to drive you among the nations for 2,000 years and send hunters and fishers after you because you've killed the Lord of glory and we still refuse him. You know? And see, the lion shepherds, we're a special people. The Jews are special. No, they're not. They're under the wrath of God until they come to Jesus Christ. They're enemies of the gospel, as everybody else is, until they come to the Lord. See, again, the lion men, they were claiming a standing with God when they were working for the devil. Hasn't changed much today, has it? How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and you do not seek the glory that is from God alone? He's saying you cannot believe. How can you understand spiritual things when you're self-seeking? See, again, he's telling them it can't be done because the Spirit of God will not reveal to you. You are seeking what you want under your terms. You're seeking the honor of men. You're seeking the things of the world. And how do you think God's going to talk to you? He's not going to. And any word he says is going to reprove you and reveal your sins to you if he does talk. There ain't going to be nothing else. So he was telling them, you are a murderer. You're seeking to kill me. See, he already knew what they were. And that's why I said the love of God's not in you. And you can't understand what I'm telling you because his word's not in you. Because his spirit will not let you see because of your sins. See, that's the consequence again. He does not keep hounding them. You don't find that in Scripture. That's why Paul shook the dust off his feet against the Jewish synagogue many after three times. He said, you judge yourself unworthy of the kingdom. And that was a testimony against them. He wasn't crying for mercy for them. He wasn't saying, well, maybe next week they'll listen. Uh-uh. They were the leaders who were deceiving people, false teachers and shepherds. God has a stronger punishment for them. And that's why not many of them are going to be saved. I ain't not hardly found any false teachers and ministers I knew that ever come back to God. I believe it's almost impossible. That's my opinion. All things are possible with God, but when you see the hardness that creeps in them, and what happens, and the more people they damn, and the longer they stay in their false teachings, there's less hope for them. That's the consequence, because God said, I will take what life they have, and then he will punish them in this life. He doesn't always wait for a judgment. How does he punish them? He sends them lying spirits, and he withdraws himself and doesn't give them the truth. He will not be gracious at times to these people. That's why he had the harshest words to the religious leaders. He says, you're snakes, you're blind guides, you're fools, you're hypocrites. He called them some strong names. He didn't use that terminology of the normal sinner. And you know something? He hasn't changed. And that's why I said you cannot escape the damnation of hell. He's telling false teachers that today. You cannot escape the damnation of hell. Every soul that dies and goes to hell that sets under these shepherds, the blood he's going to require of them. One soul may be enough to damn you if you don't repent of it and you let a person to hell. That's what false teachers do and ministers. And they don't know it. They're building their kingdoms and their glory. And they don't realize that God's saying, you speak my name and you say you represent me. I'm listening. And I will hold you accountable for every soul you deceived and did not give the truth, whether you are mine or not. Because you profess to represent me and you're a hypocrite. That's what he told the Pharisees. And again, he has not changed his evaluation. God has not changed. So he says, how can you believe, implying you can't? Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. But when you reject the word of God, when it's giving, hardness comes in, and that word which is sown, the devil comes and taketh it, lest you understand. He says, you can't understand. I'm telling you the same as Micaiah told Ahab what was going to happen to you, and you don't get it. Because that's how the devil has corrupted your heart, but you've allowed it and you're responsible. And they still didn't get it when he told them plainly that the devil was their father. How plain could he get? Instead of evaluating, thinking, is there any truth in this? They thought, oh, we're going to kill him, really. We're going to get him now. Because he's called us a religious hypocrite. Well, I've had that when I've called people false teachers. They get mad. They say, well, you're dangerous. I thought, no more than you. I said, how dangerous is it going to be when you stand before God and he casts you into hell for being a false teacher? And you'll remember I warned you when no one else did. I said, you're going to eternity knowing this for eternity. You were warned. You know. I ain't the dangerous one. They're the dangerous one. And they're on dangerous ground because they're going to face Almighty God and His wrath for eternity. They should have got out of religion and been a plumber. They should have become a yard man or gardener, but they shouldn't have taken it upon themselves to instruct people in the things of God when they represented the devil, and they didn't represent God's word. They lied to people and told them they were okay when they weren't okay so they could get more money out of them. That's what's happened. Pharisees were just like that. Okay, he says something interesting. Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. See, at this time, he has not come to exercise judgment on the nations or the peoples. The one who accuses you is Moses, in whom you have set your hope. See, they believe, well, we're saved because we keep the Sabbath and we do this and we do that. And he's saying, Moses, representing the law, he says, you think you're going to be shocked when the word of Moses and the word of the law says, thou art a wicked man, into hell you must go. See, that's what the law is going to say to him. Why? Because the law of Moses is simply what God told him to speak. It's God's law. He says, you trust in what Moses said, and Moses is going to judge you. The law is going to damn you at the end. The law that you put your trust in, you're going to see it can't save you because you've rejected me. It's going to say you are damned for rejecting the Son of Glory. You killed the Lord of Glory, and therefore you crucified him, and therefore into hell you will go forever. The wages of sin is death. The murderer shall die. Scripture says that. Law says that. And so, again, he's simply saying, you trust Moses and the law. And really, you're so deceived, you shouldn't. You know, you've misunderstood Moses and the law. Okay? He says, you put your hope in Moses. You can't put your hope in the law. Apart from Jesus Christ, you're in a dangerous position. You can't put your hope in anything, will worship, works, or anything. If the foundation is not Jesus Christ, it's a false hope, and it will lead you to hell. And that's where many people are going. For if you believed Moses, notice what he says. Excuse me. For if you believed the law, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. Isn't it interesting? But if you do not believe his writing, how will you believe my words? See, again, people think they can skip the fundamentals and the simplicity of God's word and go on to other things and not do what's required of it. That's why people are deceived. They think they can pick and choose. They feel God has struck their conscience and told them to stop doing it. Well, they'll just go do some extra good works and God will somehow overlook this. No, he won't. You'll just go to hell for hypocrisy. You'll go to a deeper hell because you'll offer the sacrifices of the wicked, and they're an abomination to God. He'll judge you more severely for playing the hypocrite. See, he just keeps folding on itself. Judgment adds to judgment. And they deceive themselves thinking, well, look what I did. Remember, they're going to all say to Jesus, but didn't we do this and didn't we do that? And he says, you workers of iniquity. He says, you're cursed of my Father. He never even acknowledged what they said. It didn't matter. They did not do the will of the Father. You know? They served God on their terms, and God says, unacceptable. It's wicked. It's wickedness. Okay? But he says what? If you had believed Moses, you would have believed, for he wrote about me. Go, if you want to, Deuteronomy chapter 18, one scripture, verse 18. Chapter 18, verse 18. The Lord saying, and he spoke well, I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. Only Christ did that. He revealed all that the Father had committed to him. So he was simply saying, had they understood Moses, had they understood Jeremiah and Isaiah, they would have been ready. Had they listened to John the Baptist, because he came as Elijah to do what? To prepare the people for Jesus. And some were prepared. Four of his disciples went right over to Jesus. Why? Because he taught them the law and the prophets, And when Jesus came, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And they were willing and ready, and the Holy Spirit opened their understanding. And Nathanael, remember, at the simplest word that Jesus spoke to him, because he had no deceit in him, and no guile, and no hypocrisy, he had an honest heart. That when Jesus gave the simplest revelation, you know, before you were under that tree, I saw you. He said, "Behold, you're the Son of God, the Savior of the world." And Jesus astounded. Well, prophets had done more than this. What? The Holy Spirit had opened his understanding immediately. This is why the woman at the well, in her simplicity and her honesty, because she could accept it, she ran back to him and says, "Is not this the Messiah?" You know, she could see this. Pharisees couldn't see this. See, John the Baptist laid the foundation. He was the messenger, and they were ready. But the Pharisees didn't receive his word. You know, they didn't receive his testimony. And then they eventually killed him, Herod, you know, because of his testimony of the law against them. So it's interesting to see the principle has not changed. So what was he saying? If you understood Moses and the prophets, you'd saw me. But because you perverted his writings and you didn't understand them, you were looking for the wrong Messiah. And therefore, you don't see me. And therefore, the love of God is not in you and the Spirit of God is not in you. And he's kept you in your blindness. Okay? Again, to show us the principle, Luke. We've been there many times. Chapter 24. To him that is given, more shall be given. If he obeys the light he's given. He that is rejects and doesn't walk in the light he's given, even that light shall be taken from him. Satan shall steal the word, lest he understand. After the resurrection, these disciples are following Jesus. 24, verse 44. And 45, and he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." See, they didn't fully understand this, some of these disciples. And then he opened their minds to understand the Scripture. See, even though they were ignorant, he says, "You foolish one." He was reproving them. He says, "Didn't I tell you? Weren't you listening very clearly?" Remember, he told his disciples. But see, the Pharisees, because they didn't know the law and Moses, they couldn't see. See, they had perverted it. But they were taught right, but they had forgotten things. And he said the Holy Spirit would come back, and Jesus used the law, and he started talking to them, and they said, "Didn't our hearts burn?" See, the Holy Spirit started to open. And he said he opened their understanding. Then they understood. He didn't do this for the Pharisees because they would not submit to the simplest of light he gave them. See, God can overlook ignorance and weakness, but he will not stubborn rebellion and sin against his word. See, they were just ignorant and scared and defeated and weak, and he made provision for that. That's why Peter was redeemed. And the disciples that fled, they didn't reject basically who he was. They were scared. They weren't prepared for battle. But the Pharisees fought him and tried to kill him and eventually succeeded. And what did he say? "You cannot believe, nor can you understand, because the love of God is not in you. His word does not abide in you, and his spirit is not in you. So how can you be saved?" You can't. See, people think they're saved and they're going to get knowledge by studying the Bible. No, that's only a small part. You don't do it, you don't get nothing, and you get hardened further. There ain't no hardness like a religious fool. There's no hardness like deceived people that are religious. See, even Jesus said to the Jews, "You go to the ends of the earth and make one hypocrite." That's what he meant. One convert just like you, and make him twice the hell you are. Make him double worse what you are. You know, make him a zealot and worse than you. Well, you know, we see the examples happen. So again, we see this principle running all through Scripture. It is not an intellectual, mental assent to information. It's when the word is given, and then the Spirit gives life. It doesn't matter how intelligent you are, or how ignorant you are. If your heart is right, God will open your understanding. And that's why the most brilliant often cannot see, like the Pharisees. They couldn't see it. And the common people saw. Because the little bit of light they were given, they responded, and God gave them more. The Samaritan woman was able to see what none of the Sanhedrin could see. And yet Jesus had told her, "You worship, you know not what." You know, And yet she was able to say, then, this is the prophet. This is the Messiah. And he said, I'm he. You know? And when he said it to the Pharisees, he said it in reproof. And then he says, and you can't believe me. See? They don't get it. Let's close. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, again. As you said, you've hidden these things from the wise and the intellectual of the world and revealed it to the simple and those who are poor of spirit. And it says, even so, it was good in your eyes. It's always good in your eyes, Lord, not to cast pearls before the wicked, nor waste your time when they reject the truth. And it's always good in your eyes to give understanding to those who are willing to receive your doctrine and follow you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.